So finally, Olaale sacks Ole Gunnar Solskjaer. Milan loses. Ah, Kachi, I know you're not happy right now. That's the start of the show today. My name is Adeje Adeboale. Still the best sporting show in the whole of the universe. It's still news, instant sports, every live on a band radio scoop and all the podcasts that you can take off. And of course, on our YouTube channel as well. I would like the analyst to introduce himself. I got Olaale with me and Oroku Kachi here too. Olaale, you go first.
Good day, sporting fans around the world. It was, I don't know how to describe it. It was a weekend not to forget. But beyond the sacking of Ole, for United, the questions still remain. Can they get it right this time around?
Okay. All right. Perfect. Kachi?
Yes. Sports fans, always a pleasure to be here. Yes, like Devon was trying to shame me to admit it, Milan lost. But the Milanese got football, also made sure Napoli lost. So it evens all over there. All this we will discuss and give you more details. Stay tuned.
All right, perfect. So let's just jump straight into the footballing action. I said footballing action, sporting action. And we'll start from the NBA, where we have a bit of embarrassment, if you ask me, for Kevin Durant. In his own backyard, people were actually praising Steph Curry. You know, I love Steph Curry, but that's so disrespectful for KD. Kachi, I feel bad for KD. Chanting
very disrespectful.
Curry as MVP. That's so much. That's too much for me.
Very, very, very disrespectful. There's something about players and egos, especially the superstars. They may tell you, they may come out, to the press and say, "Oh, it's just another game. It means nothing in the win-loss column. We still have to make the playoffs. We're working." But at the back end, you know that there are certain games that these players circle down in their calendar to say,
yeah,
this is a statement game for me. I sincerely believe that game, the visit of the red-hot Golden State Warriors to the Nets in Brooklyn, was a game KD had circled to be a statement game for him this season. And while KD came up, and even though we have to admit that KD was not his usual effervescent self, he was held to just about 22 points by Draymond Green, but no other person in the Brooklyn Nets team came up. They lost that game, as they have also lost every single game against major contenders this season by double digits. And what added the insult to injury was hearing the Brooklyn Nets fans, who we expect or we have assumed that KD has won over, chanting MVP, chanting
celebrating Curry
in the house that KD built. So it was a loss. It also tells me that the Brooklyn Nets fan is the fan base is not yet the right
solid
fan base.
Uh-huh.
I sincerely think and I don't know, and I'll be curious to hear what Olaale thinks. I sincerely think that KD would really admit to himself that he went to the wrong team in New York. If KD had moved
to the Knicks,
even without Kyrie Irving or the Beard, just moving to the Knicks and probably getting another set of young talents that were being developed in the Knicks, because we saw them last year, they picked up from where they left off this year as well.
Yeah.
He probably would, even if they don't win the championship, he will elevate the Knicks. And the Knicks fan base, let me give you a statistics I found. I found out that right now, to get into a Brooklyn Nets game costs as low as $7.
Wow.
As little as $7 to get into it. Compare that to their neighbors at the Madison Square Garden. The cheapest ticket you will see, the nosebleed ticket you will see right now to a Knicks game is $65.
Wow.
That tells you how much their fans value the team. I think KD would really regret it, but I also have to put a lot of the blames on the fan. You don't hang out your stars to dry
to
in
dry
such a marquee game. Yes, yeah.
All right, perfect. Olaale, do you have a dissenting view from what?
I think Kachi has actually said most of the things I want to say. As in, I feel like the thing about the issue was, I think KD was disgraced. and he might not openly probably express his frustration.
Yeah.
But I think that he must have noted that down somewhere in his diary. And for him, it's an indictment on KD as a person. KD as a player is fantastic. But as a person, everybody had, we actually questioned, like, we all knew it was all about going to New York, that they were going to New York Knicks, the New York Knicks. That was all the noise prior to them signing for the Brooklyn Nets in the free agency. It was just a couple of weeks, and everybody knew that was Kyrie's job. And KD was just following Kyrie to anywhere he wanted. It just allowed Kyrie to inflate. And I think that was Stephen A. What do you call it? Against Kyrie. Like you persuaded this brother, who is a bigger star than you, to come to Brooklyn. For Brooklyn, I think for a period of time they were in New Jersey, so you can understand where the reason why they don't really have much fan base in New York. Yeah. And like Achi rightly said, New York Knicks might be one of the most, let me say, terrible run franchise in NBA or even in American sports. But one thing you can't deny their fans is they would rather live or die with you.
Yeah,
they will never do such a horrible thing that you saw with the Brooklyn. I think KD will be odd, but how is going to respond from this? How the old team, because they are not getting the best out of James Harden. I think they had a fantastic game the last time. I think KD missed the last game. He scored
39 points
game. So, but overall, I think it was a very, very embarrassing scene at And Kaji said everything about those tickets. I actually heard about it, that their ticket is so cheap that they couldn't find anybody to come and buy it.
Don't worry, Kaji. Next year, we'll be going to the Brooklyn Nets games like every other week.
But I would only go with you. I'm not going to go to the Nets to watch them if there's no market. I mean,
don't worry. We still got KD next day. And of course, two Formula One. Last week, there was a point deduction for Silas Hamilton. This week, he came back in Qatar. Like Achi predicted, that it's going to be the spot-on race for the Mercedes. And he did. Hamilton won in the Middle East.
One thing we've seen in Lewis Hamilton's career is he knows how to navigate new race courses, better than almost any other racer. Living or dead. This is the 12th consecutive, no, I shouldn't say consecutive, but the 12th new race sport or race ground that Lewis Hamilton has won, first time racing in it, you know. Lewis Hamilton has successfully reduced the point gap between him and Verstappen to just 8 points.
Wow.
With two races left. It started on pole. It was never in doubt. As a matter of fact, during his post-race interview, he said it was really lonely at the front there. He didn't even know what was happening at the back.
You
know, and I know that was a psychological jab at Verstappen that he couldn't even come close to me. I mean, in qualifying on Saturday, Lewis was faster by more than a second. You know, it might sound like, oh, what are you talking about? 1 second. But in the sport of Formula One,
a second is a lifetime. Exactly.
A lifetime. And he finished the race by almost 7 seconds ahead of Max Verstappen. It's all to race for. Chances are that by the time we'll be going to the last race in Abu Dhabi, these two guys will be level on points. And that is if Lewis wins the race and Verstappen finishes second, they will be level on points going to the last race of the season.
Which makes it very exciting. All right.
I don't pray for that to happen.
And the next race is going to be in Jeddah, or is it going to be in Riyadh?
Yeah, it's Jeddah.
The next race is in Jeddah in Saudi Arabia. The last race is in Abu Dhabi.
All right, perfect. And of course, Alexander Zverev did one over Daniil Medvedev at the ATP, the second ATP finals, having defeated your boy Novak Djokovic in the semifinal. In straight set as well, it looks like there's a new trend in tennis right now. The new kids are taking a good account of themselves. Olale.
Yeah, it's about time they do that. I think we've been waiting for this for more than, let me say, eight years. After 2010, 12, 13, I think we're already getting tired of the Djokovic, Nadal, Federer, exactly. So it's about time. I think the pattern is there. Djokovic lost to Medvedev in the US Open. Then this one he lost to Zverev, and I think both guys they played a couple of times. And this Italian guy too is coming up. I don't know whether he's up to their
Bellettini was in the semifinal as well.
Yeah, Bellettini. So it's good seeing the young guys finally
taking good stock of themselves.
And
Zverev actually defeated Djokovic at the Olympics as well. So it looks like everything is looking good for the new kids right now.
Everything is point. And I another thing you should realize about something about sports is, I think that first victory, that's overcoming that psychological,
barrier.
It's a lot. So
yeah,
I think they'll be more confident going to future matches against any of these guys, knowing that they could. And just like the Formula One, I think the pressure now will be on, just like will be on
Max Verstappen. He
was one leading all through, and I'm not sure he has been at this kind of
situation.
He has not seen himself kind of situation before. For Hamilton, I don't think it's a big deal if he doesn't win this year. So I think that the same thing applied to those tennis guys. Just trying to overcome that psychological disturbance is actually a big thing. And I think I'm in for this team, for the new guys. I want to see their rivalries. I hope they can give us
what they're made of.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
All right. We'll look forward to it. So Alexander Zverev, Daniil Medvedev, Bellettini. We look forward to you guys doing something special, starting from the Australian Open. That's where the big shot is. The ATP finals, good tournament, but when it comes to the Grand Slam, that's where we should know what you're made of. And of course, our Russia-born Teimuraz Gabashiv has accepted a 20-month ban suspension for doping. Man, you're 46 years old. Why are you doping, man? And of course, Roger Federer might not be available. He's unlikely to be available for the Australian Open next year due to injury. We love you, Roger, but at this time, we want to say goodbye to you. But of course, if Roger comes, I'm still going to support Roger. Do I have a choice? Kachi, do you have a choice? And of course,
Nadal is there, I always have a choice.
Okay, all right, perfect. You have a choice. I do have a choice. If Federer is there, I got to support Federer 100%. And of course, Ash Barty is going to finish at the world number one in the women tennis division. Good one for her. She's done well enough for herself in the tourney across the season. Finishing at world number one, it's not really, realistically, it's not a surprise. The first Australian to win, I think, was it the Wimbledon Open or the US Open in over 46 years. Wonderful. Record for Ash Barty, and we'll hope to see her next year as well, starting from the Australian Open. And of course, Terence Crawford defeated Sean Porter in the 10th round to retain the crown. Kachi, you have something. Kachi, I've never heard in the history of boxing that they defeated you and you retire instantly. That's true.
So, listeners, what Devo is alluding to was the fact that Sean Porter announced his retirement during the post-fight conference. But then, Debo, you kind of expect this. Right now, there's only one other person to fight, which is Errol Spence Jr. And based on the age gap, he knows that Potter right now knows he doesn't really stand a chance. And before the fight will even come to him, Spence will not fight him because Spence automatically is the number one contender to challenge Crawford for that title. So right now, if the top two are not looking your way, and you don't want to fight a number two, number three contender fight at age 34, it's only logical. He's a Hall of Famer, without a doubt. The fight on its own lived up to the billing. You know, I felt Sean Porter held his own man to man for as long as he could until he was dropped twice in the 10th round and his trainer slash his father threw in the towel and said enough was enough. I think they have had that discussion before that. Hey, in this fight, I'm retiring anyway. Don't make me retire with neural damages to my to my health. Let me enjoy whatever record or money I've made from the sport. If I'm being manhandled, I'm not Deontay Wilder that will complain. Throw in the towel, I definitely will understand. He can hold his head. He was not embarrassed. It wasn't even a TKO in the sense of course, in that weight class, you hardly see TKOs. But it was a good fight. Probably would be for me for this year, will probably be the number four or number five.
Best
but definitely in the top five fight of the year. Crawford shown once again why he's champion. His combination has been amazing. We wait to see what happens. He can't really hold his head and say, I'm the undisputed until he fights Errol Spence. Who was watching that fight yesterday, by the
way? Oh, wow.
So it sets it up for a great start to the new year, next year, God willing, when these two people fight. But the reason why a lot of people are skeptical is that they are promoted by different people. I think this guy is promoted by PDC, Errol Spence. So we're not even sure if that fight will hold. They need to come together. They should not give us the same issue that Tyson Fury and Anthony Joshua
did.
I want to see them fight.
All right, perfect. And of course, that will be the segment for the best of the rest. We'll go on a short break right now. And when we come back, we'll be... So going straight to Ole Gunnar Solskjaer, that's where I'm going to be starting from. Ole scored that memorable goal in 1999 to give United their second Champions League title, which up to date still amazes me. I can't wrap my head around it. Two goals in 1 minute, 2 minutes. I can't remember exactly, but it's a wonderful memory. It came in after the show of horror that Mourinho left at Manchester United. He left United in a show of horror, damaging the dressing room, damaging player confidence, came back, stick the guys together, put them together, put on a good show as well, if you ask me. Played in a final, if I'm not mistaken, four or maybe more semifinals as well. Unluckily, no trophies to show for it. And at the start of the season, we had a wonderful crop of players gathered for him at United. We expected bigger things to come. That's the only logical thing. You have probably the best goal scorer in the history of the world in your team. We expected something better and more superb than what we had so far this season. And at the weekend, they lost 4-1 to Watford. That's the problem. If they lost 4-1 against Man City, probably will not get the sack. But it was Watford for crying out loud. And that was the last thing that broke the camel's back. I hope I'm right with that parable, proverb, whatever it is. And of course, Joe Glazer called up an emergency board meeting virtually that Ole needed to go. And Ole is gone gracefully and graciously as well. You can see how much the players love Ole with what Bruno Fernandes did last night, sticking out his neck for Ole. That the fan base should not boo the coach. They should in turn boo the players that had the bad display. So Ole is part and parcel of the thing. And the players actually love him. Malali, I'm going to start with you. Carrick is taking over. Nobody knows if it's a good step in the right direction, except the Buddha Sakole. Overall, how do we rate Ole Gunnar Solskjaer's time or tenure at Manchester United. I won't call it a failure anyways.
Yeah, not really a failure like that. Unfortunately, it started very well. I think the board actually made a mistake. The initial mandate was to make him an interim manager to the end of the season, then appoint a substantial manager. Of course, because of the way results eventually went, then things, I think he won like 10 out of his first 12 games. Probably they were carried away. They felt it was, I think for the board, coming from a Mourinho who could demand a lot from them, they felt Solskjaer, giving Solskjaer the United job was just enough for him. He was not going to protest. He was not going to throw them under the bus. He was not going to, you understand, all those kind of things. I just think they were carried away about that, and they gave him that job. I think that was where the mistake started from, because what Ole came in for was to steady the ship and hand over to the substantial manager at the end of the season. Even though they gave him that contract, I knew that was the genesis of the problem. Now, coming into 2020 season, that was his first full season. I think where only problems started from was from his signings. Only made three signings: £50 million for Wan-Bissaka, £80 million for
Harry Maguire,
and I think 17 point something million pounds for
Dan James.
For people who are very close to me, looking at those signings, I felt they were very wrong signings in everything. From the quality the players had to offer to even the price money. I think Crystal Palace, whoever did that for them, whether Andrew that negotiation to have sold Wan-Bissaka to Man United for £50 million. If you look at the trend in today's football now, the your fullbacks are the guys that gives you the natural width.
Yeah.
Just check our FPL. Most points in the last few weeks are coming from the fullbacks.
Chilwell, James, Alexander Arnold.
Your fullback are expected to do that thing that the David Beckham of this world did in those days. Because what we have now is inside
flying,
forward.
Flying wing backs.
Not inside, exactly. Not wingers like before. So I believe those signings were very wrong. They were terrible signings. But because of COVID-19, United were able to recover and beat Leicester City to that fourth position. 2020-2021 was another unusual season. There were no fans on the stands. United got away with a lot of things. Liverpool had too many injury issues. Chelsea had their own coaching problem. Man City didn't start well. I think we mentioned it on many occasions on this program that United had all the chances
to win the league last season.
Probably win the title last year, considering the way the other teams. But they couldn't perform. That was where me I knew they are going to have a problem this season, because with Thomas Tuchel in that Chelsea team, they are a different team entirely.
Yeah.
So, but even with that, nobody expected United to struggle like this. The major problem Ole had throughout the stay in United team was Ole never addressed the midfield issue. He never addressed the midfield issue. The issue in the midfield has always been the ability for the midfielders to carry the transition. Somebody to connect from transition from defense to attack.
Yeah.
McTominay is not comfortable. I will share some videos with you guys. McTominay is not comfortable doing that. Fred seems to be clumsy when you give him that the job to do. And Bruno Fernandes just wants to play like a number 10 because he was actually scoring lots of goals. I think not addressing the midfield issue was a big problem for United. For me, it started very well. I didn't expect the guys to give him the job, but you can't give what you don't have.
Yeah,
I think that's just
Overall, On a scale of 1 to 10, how would you rate his tenure in United?
I think I'll give him a 4 because he had all the chances, he had the support of the board, he had the support of the fan base. A lot of things worked in his favor that Ole
did not take advantage of. Okay.
Ole could have probably ended up with like two or three titles.
Yeah. Okay.
By now.
All right. Perfect. Kachi, I'm gonna come to you now. We are looking at it and we're saying what next for United, right? Carrick is gonna take you up the team in the interim, not Darren Fletcher like we first feared. And of course, now we're looking at strings of available coaches, available, quote and unquote. First, we have Brendan Rodgers that distanced himself from the job over the course of the weekend. We have Radlick of in Germany as well. We have Zidane, whom we've heard that Ronaldo does not want United, quote and unquote. That's an unconfirmed report, of course. And of course, we have Pochettino that could be available by the end of the season if he's sacked at PSG for not winning the Champions League. And of course, we have the Ajax manager. Out of these 5 guys, who do you think could or should steady the ship for United? Or which should be the next United coach out of these 5? Or do you have any candidate, any viable candidate outside these 5 coaches right now?
Devo, truthfully, I'm as confused as the United management, I expect them to be, because it's going to take a lot to steady the ship and the chaos that has erupted in the United camp. From what I saw at the end of the game against Watford, it looked like there was just a small pocket of players that followed Bruno Fernandes in sticking their back or sticking their necks for the coach. While some other players seem to have moved on mentally, at least mentally, from Ole Gunnar Solskjaer, even before he was fired. So that tells me that there is a serious divide. I don't know how many camps we have, but there are divisions in that, at least in that among camp.
If you can allow me chip in, just to buttress what you're saying. So the issue of Donny van Beek, the players are not happy about how we treated Donny van Beek, Jesse Lingard as well. And there's issue of mentality from Ronaldo towards the players as a whole. So go on, please. Mm-hmm.
So that just further more buttresses my point. The other divide I think is we can see will be in the senior management, right? From the Glazers to whoever is handling their football. I hear it's Darren Fletcher. I don't know how true that is.
Yeah.
It tells me there is no unanimity there. An emergency meeting was called after the game. Up until when the news broke this afternoon, what we first heard was that they did not come to a conclusion.
Yeah.
Which tells me clearly that different parts of that management team are also thinking of different things.
Different things.
Now, whoever will come in, let's forget the person first. Whoever it is that will come in has 2 jobs to do. In fact, 3 jobs. Coach the team, heal the squad, and unite management to back whatever plans he has or he will be having. Now, out of all these people you have mentioned, who seems best suited to be able to do that? I would say Zinedine Zidane, because of his ego, because of what he has achieved as a player, as an assistant to Ancelotti, and also as a coach by himself. But is he the right person for the club? I don't think so. I pose this question to Lawale, and I'm sure he will, if you give him some chance, he would also say something about it. Tactically, we don't know if he can bring out the best in the current squad. So whoever will be coming in, I don't want to give any name, even though I've said most likely Zidane, but whoever will be coming in still has to do a housekeeping, clean house, excess parts, excess players, who doesn't want to stay should go. And that means you have to give that person 3 years. 1 year to fail, which is probably this year, which they will not give him since Carrick may finish that this year. So the person needs 1 year to fail, a second and to identify the talents he needs, a second year to build chemistry, and then the third year to start seeing the result. But is Manchester United ready for another 3 to 4 years? I don't think so. So back to your question, the best fit will be Zidane, but who do you think they will go for? I think it will be Pochettino.
All right, perfect. Thank you very much for that wonderful analysis. I really do enjoy that. Pochettino, they will go for Zidane, the best fit. Olale, just before we move to other things, because this is typically for me, this is a good issue for me, a positive one, from both for as a rival to United and as, how do I say it? I don't know. Borrow me that language as not a supporter, as
that what? You are.
No, no, as like, hate. Like, no, no, not hate. I like Ole Gunnar Solskjaer as well. And I have, of course, I love Ronaldo. So there's all this partiality towards whatever goes on at the red side of Manchester. Olali, we've seen what we really did with Derby County. People might come out and say, blah, 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 he's too young, blah, 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 he has not gone so long for management. Do you think at this point, even for the 6 months or thereabout that we have to the end of the season, do you think Rooney can actually handle United while they look for a more suitable coach in the summer that will take them up from a preseason up at the end of the season?
Wow, this is a big question. Wayne Rooney as a player, we know who Wayne Rooney was as a player. Wayne Rooney as a coach, I've not really followed his progress at Derby County like that. Oh, I just knew they were a troubled team.
Yeah, he did a wonderful last season. Came in after Philippe Cocu
to save them.
Job and them through relegation last season.
I consider the fact that he probably played with some of these guys. I don't know how I don't know much about his temperament now as a coach. If it's going to be the same temperament we knew Rooney for as a player, it might rob some of those players the bad way. So it might be able to galvanize the squad to an extent. But again, tactically, from the tactical point of view, that is where the question will be: can he actually think? Because the problem with the United squad is it's not a balanced squad. And when you have a squad that is not balanced, you need somebody who is very, very, very intelligent. It's not a balanced squad on one hand, and there are a bit of overrated players on the other hand too. Guys like Marcus Rashford are very, very overrated. Forget about the occasional distance. So a lot of United fans think we have a good team. Yes, this and that, but come on. Some of these guys are not just good enough. And that's why one of my annoyance with Ole was, in as much as some of this performance, I think some of these players actually failed him, but majority of the players that failed him, he was responsible for their signing. So that is my own issue with Wayne Rooney, who is going to be, from the tactical point of view, how can he get the right balance for this squad?
For the squad.
United are in a fix as they are now. I don't think they even know what to do. The only thing they just had to do was they knew Ole had to go.
Ole had to go. All right, perfect. So for me, looks like even Ole is confused about it. Probably it's a bad idea to even fire Ole Gunnar Solskjaer without a plan. It looks like a club that does not have any form of ideology. And the only person they could have called right now is in the hot mess over a rape case or assault case, which would have been
I say something.
Yeah, go ahead, please, catch it.
A production call, I had a quick chat with Olawale, and he mentioned something, and I think that is where the underlying issue of Man United's malaise lies. The owners of Man United are not football fans. There is no passion
exactly.
for that club. There is no passion for the club. See, when you are particular about something, okay, and I'm going to give you and listeners, for those watching us, you will see my analogy. For listeners, just picture yourself living in your dream home. You bought it with your money, and then something happened. Your garage caves in, or your windows were destroyed because you love that house. You know how much you paid for that house, and you know how much that house will go in value. Even if you cannot fix windows, you will get the right window repairer or the right builder, the right architect to spend money. And right now, those guys are not seeing United as a passion. It is just a business. And right now, for them, it does not matter whether Onyekachi is the coach or whether Haken Ten Hag of Ajax comes in. What matters is bottom line, how much can we add to the family wealth? And until they begin to have a proper director of football that can look them in the face and tell them, you don't just throw money at them. There are structures to be established. Once they get maybe they will start feeling. But for now,
Debo, just like what Kachi said.
Let's make some point Debo, about it. I know you want to talk about it.
No. There is something we need to point out.
I'm going
to
give you 10 seconds for that.
Now, what I'm saying is this. Now, if you look at City, the Arabians are so passionate about football. They might not really have the knowledge. It's just like most of their economy, their healthcare. They were passionate about having a good healthcare system.
So they bring
But what do they do? They get the best around the world. Exactly. That is the problem with United.
All right.
Perfect.
Okay, well, I'm gonna stay with you. At the start of the season, we had a huge Olabalu at the blue side of Manchester City, which is Manchester City, with Mendy being accused of rape and sexual assault. And as if that is not enough, news are coming out again that Ferland Mendy of Real Madrid actually did assault a couple of girls while he was still in France and repeated the act at Real Madrid again in Spain. And this is my question. I know French are troubled, especially blacks from France. But how do we cope? What kind of educational institutionalization do we put in place to correct this kind of anomalies? These guys are wealthy. What can we do to help stop this kind of anomalies in our society and predominantly amongst the black players? Don't forget that Bissama of Brighton and Hove did the same thing in the club couple of months back. You know, how do we stop this?
Thank God you started with the how do we stop it? How do we in the society stop it? Not how the football community, because the football community is existing in a wider society.
Mm-hmm.
I think, like you said, it's a societal problem, and it's more of a what did I call this? You having this sense of what do you call it? Like
invisibility.
This thing we call it in Nigeria. Not invisibility like that. Thinking that you have right to somebody's body. You have that kind of, this kind of sense of ownership. Like, I can do anything.
What did you say, Kachi?
Hello, Kachi. Kachi, say something now.
Sense of entitlement.
Entitlement, thank you. That's the right word I'm looking for. It's just an entitlement mentality. I think we should, the correction starts from different homes. Everybody has a job to do. You don't have rights to any other, another person's body. It's a very bad mentality. That is the work of each and every parent in the society. It starts from home. You have to let the boys know that this thing is a, what do you call it? Two people have to agree for you to, you can't decide for the other person. You can't decide for the other person. And the moment you feel like you are entitled to somebody's body, you think that person doesn't have, it's a problem. You feel that person doesn't have a decision to make on our own. That's why we are seeing all these things. And this is why some of these boys think, okay, I have the money now, then what? I should be able to have access to you. No, it doesn't work like that.
Because
everybody...
Yeah, not everybody will. So it's a very bigger issue that it has to be addressed at different homes.
Yeah,
everybody have to allow Kachi, to let them do that.
Yeah, Kachi, coming over to you now, and Alali, thank you very much for that. Coming over to you now, Kachi, I'm trying to think about it and think of white athletes in this kind of mess in the past. And I can't think of any. The first person that came to my mind was Robinho of Brazil, who happens to be a black as well. You know, I don't know. Kachi is gone for a sec. So we jump to this to Premier League right now, and we'll talk about the games in the Premier League, in the La Liga, and of course in the Spanish in the Serie A. Leicester City laid themselves down to be bullied, slaughtered, and chopped up by Chelsea. 3-0, it could have been a 7-0 victory for Chelsea if they've kept themselves in a better position, not offside position, on numerous occasions. Olali, do you think Brendan Rodgers has done his best for Leicester City and it's about time for him to leave the club?
Well, things are not really looking good for him right now. They've been struggling from the beginning of the season. And I think kudos to him. He's actually tried different things in terms of shape, in terms of personnel. We've seen Abby Barnes coming at a point in time. He has actually tested Ademola Lookman.
Yeah,
we've seen Madison.
Yeah,
we've seen different shape. We've seen 3-5-2.
Yeah.
We've seen 3-4-3. We've seen 4-2-3-1. It just seems not to be able to get the best out of his squad right now. I think I think injuries have not been very
kind to
Leicester City. One of their most influential player last season was James Justin.
Yeah,
I think he's just coming back from injury.
Yeah.
Fofana too made a lot of names for himself last season.
Yeah, Castagna
injured now. Castagna had his own injury issue. Even Ricardo, who was very influential, I think 2 seasons ago, is like a shadow of himself now since coming back from that injury. He has not really been. So we don't even know what we will see of James Justin. I think so on that part. Since Madison got injured, I think against Aston Villa last season towards the end, the guy has not been the same again. He's been struggling with, and I think not making the cut with the English team too probably might have had some kind of mind. Psychology on his mind too.
And not getting his Barnes, move to us now.
Now Abby Barnes. So I think it's an injury on one hand, player struggling for form on the other hand. I don't want to be Brendan Rodgers at this point in time, considering the performance, how they performed in the last 2 seasons. It's very frustrating seeing them struggling like this.
And
with the fact that the fourth position in the Premier League seems to still be open. Up there for grab.
Grabs.
I'm not seeing them giving a fight or trying to compete.
Conte is here. Looks like Conte owns that. And of course, Kachi, I'm going to come to you now. Steven G is back in the Premier League and he came back with a statement. 2-0 against Brighton and Hove. 2 late goals. One by Oli Watkins. I don't know why I did not buy my FPL team, of course. And of course, Tyron Mings with the second goal. It's too early to call anything, but a good step in the right direction, I believe.
A good step in the right direction. Well, I think it's down to what they call the new coach syndrome, where every player kind of raises their game to impress the coach. I appreciate the fact that Gerard comes with a lot of goodwill. He's one of those players that, in spite of whichever club you support, you tend to have a soft spot for
exactly,
him.
Exactly, exactly.
That goodwill, I think, will extend for a certain period. Not sure what the terms of the contract is. I think for now, the mandate would be just keep us in the league.
In the Premier League,
and then we can build from there. 2 late goals, like you said, it wasn't entirely convincing. But in this league, you just want to secure 40 points and then see what else you can get.
Yeah.
Aston Villa look on course to get those 40 points. Stevie G, by virtue of what he was able to achieve in Rangers, tells me that players will listen
to him.
Sometimes because of how much these players make, they tend to leave their respect for elders and leadership at the door and get blinded by sycophants and praise singers. But the likes of Zidane, right, that's why I said it's probably the best fit for Man U. The likes of Zidane, the likes of Stevie G can point to a Champions League medal, two FA Cups, and say, I know what it takes to succeed in this league. So listen to me and you will get the kind of success you need. I wish him very well. I'm a big fan of Stevie G. I felt he underachieved for England, and I hope he does better than his dear friend Ole Gunnar Solskjaer fan at Man United.
All right, perfect. And of course, Boli played a 3-3 draw against Crystal Palace, Benteke with Obrez. Newcastle, a 3-3 draw as well against Brentford. Maxim getting the late equalizer for Newcastle. Norwich, with this Smith coming to the end of affair, defeated Southampton 2-1. And of course, Watford defeated United. We don't need to talk about that, honestly. And of course, Wolves defeated West Ham 1-0, surprisingly. And to not too surprising results, Liverpool at Anfield defeated Arsenal 4-0. With Nuno Tavares, Tomiyasu, Abini, and Oshuovoro at the Anfield. Of course, I'm not going to come out to castigate Arteta. This is expected. There's a gulf of difference in talent between the two teams. So it's not something we don't expect. But we just wish Arsenal could do better next time. Maybe not for him. Actually, we're not Manchester United. And of course, City defeated Everton 3-0. Spurs defeated Leeds United 2-1. Antonio Conte coming to a gracious good in the long run 2-1. No King goal. Reguilón getting the winner for Spurs. Olali, we expect things to change with Conte in the end of affair at White Hart Lane. Or what's the name of that? Sorry. Did they see them the stadium White Hart Lane? It has a new name.
No, the Tottenham Stadium.
The Tottenham Stadium. Thank you very much. How well do you think Conte will be able to do with this thing? They were not convincing in the game for me, of course, especially in the first half. But how well do you think they would respond to the coaching tactics of Antonio Conte in the long run?
Well, probably it might take some few matches for them to adjust themselves to the way the coach wanted them to play. But like you rightly said, they've been struggling in the few matches we've seen them. The game against Everton, I think they didn't have any shot on target.
Yeah.
And this game, it was all struggle throughout. They were very fortunate to get it because those goals were just crappy goals.
Uh-huh,
the equalizer was a scrappy goal.
Mm-hmm.
The second one, yes, deflected free kick of America.
They
just grind the result. But for now, uh-huh, I think that's what they need. They can keep grinding the results. With results, confidence will start coming in. And the players might probably start buying into what the coach is trying to do. So now, let's see how things go. But in terms of performance, No, it's nothing close to what we are expecting.
Okay, all right, perfect. So, in the Spanish La Liga, Granada lost at home 1-4 to Real Madrid. Atletico Madrid defeated Osasuna 1-0. Xavi Hernandez won against Espanyol 1-0. I've run to Italy. Can you imagine? Kachi, new dawn at Barcelona, Xavi football. A welcome idea, yes or no?
A very welcome idea because it came very cheap. It came cheap, but he also comes with a lot of goodwill. You know, a lot of us underestimate the importance of intangibles such as that. And when I mean that, I mean when players in the dressing room want to listen to you. Yes, it was a controversial goal from Memphis Depay.
Yeah.
A controversial penalty. But it's a good win. It's always very good to start a new tenure with a win. Dean Smith did it for Norwich. We saw the young man Steven Gerrard doing it for Aston Villa as well. It will take a while before Xavi's philosophy takes hold, but I'm here for it. I'm here for it.
All right, perfect. There go four. Xavi Hernandez. We look forward to it. Daniel Alves actually moved back to Barcelona. They are looking forward to having Messi. So Xavi football and Barcelona won again their city rival Espanyol. And of course, in Italy, Girona lost to Roma 2-0. Mourinho actually winning in the long run. Zlatan Ibrahimovic brace could not help Milan against away to Fiorentina. 4-3, he ended in favor of Fiorentina. And of course, Juventus defeated Mario Sarri coach Lazio 2-0. And Inter Milan defeated Napoli 3-2. Now, the gap is closing. Milan losing in the long run. Napoli losing in the long run as well. Two good drivers, if you ask me. Napoli losing to Inter Milan is not a surprise. Milan against Fiorentina to maybe not what we're expecting, but it's not an upset, if you ask me, Kachi.
Not an upset, but you know what I said 2 weeks ago or last week, that it's always been an issue coming back from international breaks,
yeah,
especially for a club where the majority of their first team players also play first team football for their national team.
Mm-hmm.
Coming back and buying into Stefano Pioli's philosophy was always going to be an issue. I don't think Fiorentina had any player represent their national team. I could be wrong, but that's how I see it.
You are definitely wrong. Dusan Vlahovic is the guy touted for £76 million that could be moving to either Arsenal, Manchester United, or Newcastle. Place of
first reference. Team in his national team. That's, I'm basically saying, when you look at the numbers, happened. Yes, when you look at the rest of Europe, it wasn't the case. The big boys handled business. But with Milan, we were not expecting this to continue. Good news out of it, the only silver lining was that Napoli also lost, even though the gap between first and third has reduced to 4 points. It's still very good for us. I'm not going to complain.
All right, perfect. And of course, Bayern Munich surprisingly lost away to Augsburg 1-2, while Dortmund had a late goal to win against Stuttgart 2-1, Marco Ross scoring. And of course, don't forget, guys, Olawale has won himself a Boston Celtic jersey that will be sent to him in later years. Woo, 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 woo. But unfortunately for Kachi today, there's no jersey in play. But of course, we'll be doing a preview of the Champions League. And of course, if you're listening to us, check up our social media and you could be winning yourself something as well.
But let's do one-on-one with Kachi now.
Of course, a one-on-one Kachi versus Olaale. So I'm going to start with you, Kachi. I'm going to give Olaale the other ones because he won last time. Kachi, Dynamo Kiev versus Bayern Munich.
Oh, come on. That's the Bayern Munich win. Even though Bayern has qualified, I said Bayern too.
Okay, all right, perfect. Olaale, Villarreal versus Manchester United. United away from home.
This is a bit tricky.
Coachless,
I would say Villarreal win.
Villarreal win. Wow.
Yes.
Oh, wow. That's surprising. So Olaale is saying a win for Villarreal. Kachi, your boy versus Atlanta away from home.
Atlanta would win it. They need to ramp up the pressure, especially as Olaale has predicted the Villarreal.
Okay, all right, perfect. Olaale, Barcelona versus Benfica.
Resurgence Barcelona against Benfica. Barcelona playing at home. Barcelona victory.
Olaale saying Barcelona wins. And of course, Kachi, Juventus versus Chelsea at Stamford Bridge.
Chelsea to win this game. I don't think Juventus has fully turned the corner. Chelsea would have too much for Juventus.
Oh, wow. That's surprising. And Lille versus Salzburg, Olali. I would have preferred to ask you this question anyway.
Salzburg and who? Lille.
Lille. Yeah, Lille higher in France.
Who's playing at home?
Lille.
Tricky. I'm going for a draw. Let me just
for a draw.
I think the Salzburg squad, they are a bit decent.
Yeah.
What's the name of that guy? Adeyemi.
Especially because of Adeyemi, the German wonder kid. Kachi, Sevilla versus Wolfsburg. It's not Europa League, so don't forget.
And that's why I'm a bit reluctant to call Sevilla full-fledged victor here. But I think Sevilla will just nick it by the odd goal. 3-2 in favor of Sevilla.
In Sevilla. All right, perfect. Sevilla, don't forget, Sevilla have not been doing wonderfully well in the group, even we thought they will. Olali, Marble versus Zenit St. Petersburg playing in Sweden.
Marble playing at home to Zenit. Who is playing at home?
Marble, yeah.
I think it's Zenit St. Petersburg victory.
St. Petersburg waiting. Okay. Zenit. Yes. Olali is saying Zenit is going to win. Kachi, Betistas versus Ajax.
I can't bet against those entertaining boys from Ajax. Even though Betistas can ride their tundra. I think this match would end in a draw. I don't know why. I really wanted to go for an Ajax win, but I want my head to rule. I say Benfica draw, especially because Ajax has qualified.
All right, Olali. Hold on, Olali. PSG versus
Man City. Yes. This is a tricky tie. City will be missing some couple of players. They are playing at home. PSG has not been convincing. Is Neymar back?
Neymar is back, I believe. I'm not sure. I'm not 100% sure. But Messi's back. That I'm sure of. Messi's back. He scored over the weekend.
Wow. This is kind of tricky one. City knows that they need to win this game for them to give themselves any chance of topping the group. Who is stopping right now?
He has to be City.
I think City will win.
City win for City. Olali is saying win for City. Of course, this kind of game usually ends with someone winning anyway, so I'm not surprised. Kachi,
can I change my prediction for Besiktas from Ajax in
case? If Olali allows,
yes, okay, he's allowed.
So you're saying Ajax win. Ajax. Okay. Kachi, Inter Milan versus Shakhtar the next.
Inter increasing in form, buying more and more into the philosophy of Simone Inzaghi. I expect them to handle business. To win.
All right, perfect. Kachi is saying Inter Milan win. Olali, AC Milan versus Atletico Madrid. Atletico playing at home, of course.
Atletico Madrid to win.
Atletico win. Oh, that's straightforward. Wow, Olali is.
You should have asked me that. I would have said Atletico to win.
Oh, wow. I actually didn't want to ask you that. Sporting Lisbon versus Dortmund. Kachi.
Dortmund stung twice by Ajax. Their chops.
They are playing away from me.
I expect.
Is Haaland back?
Haaland is not back.
I still expect back.
They are going to Benfica. They are going to Lisbon.
To Portugal. So you expect a Dortmund win?
Wow.
Expect a Dortmund win.
A Dortmund win. Okay. Kati saying a Dortmund win. Olali, Club Brugge versus RB Leipzig. Away from home from RB Leipzig. They're playing in Belgium.
The first leg in Lisbon, in Germany, ended in a draw.
Yeah.
Ended in a draw.
Brugge is a decent club.
They are a very decent side. And you don't know the RB Leipzig that is going to show up at the same time.
They already weakened them. They signed two of their best players. Yeah, Sabisa. And Upa, whatever his name is.
I think I'm going for a draw.
A draw. Lali is going for a draw. Lali, I helped you. in case you win anything from the fans, you should give me something like that. Liverpool versus Porto. Liverpool at Anfield. Kachi, this should be straightforward for you, right?
Liverpool at Anfield, that's the theater of Champions League football. Should be straightforward. Although Jurgen Klopp will be eager to give some of those boys who haven't played a run. So I expect Rigi to play some part, Minamino to also play a good part. But at the end of the day, even if it's not so exciting, Liverpool should still win it.
All right. Thank you very much for that. And Ali, the last one is going to be Sheriff away at home against Real Madrid.
Madrid to win.
Madrid to win. Okay. Ali is saying Madrid to win. Don't forget that they defeated Madrid the first leg, though.
It doesn't matter.
Okay. All right. Perfect. That's it. We'll be telling you who win what and who win what not. Kachi, if you lose this one, I'll stop calling you Oracle from next week. That's the wrap and that's the show, guys. Thank you very much for staying tuned with us. Ensure you follow all our social media handles, News Instanta on Instagram, News Instanta One on Twitter, News Instanta Sports on YouTube, and of course, News Instanta on Facebook. So we'll talk to you again next week. My name is Tolaji Adebowale, and I'm your lovely and wonderful host, even if you don't like me. I love you, and I'll see you next week.